When's the last time you read your Bible? I mean, on a daily basis? Has it been a while? Even if it hasn't, join me in this episode of God's Adopted. I want to talk about the top five mistakes Christians make that stop them from reading the Bible on a daily basis. Come on.
Howdy, welcome to God's Adopted. I'm here to help encourage you to grow in faith through stories, teaching, and practical examples so you can experience more of God in and through your life. When we get born again, He adopts us. This podcast is here to encourage us all to grow in becoming the children of God He's adopted us to become. Join me and learn to do like Peter did. Let's get out of the boat and step on the water with Jesus.
Father God, I just lift up myself and my brothers and sisters. Father, in regard to reading your word and digging into your word and putting it before us more often than we have, and Father, we pray for your help. I pray for your help for myself and those listening to encourage us to get into your word more and on a more regular basis. I just pray that you'd come near us by your Holy Spirit, and that this sharing that we have in this time would be more of an encouragement than anything else. And I pray for your help in this and your presence in our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was praying about this episode, what I kept thinking about was how often I hear people saying something like, it's almost like there's a distance that's been happening, like between devotion time and reading the scripture. And so I wanted to talk about what could be five mistakes that Christians make in this regard that kind of keep them away from reading the Bible on a daily basis. And let's start going into some of these. So the biggest one that I hear over and over, and I do understand, we live busy, we have busy, busy lives. And so the top one will not surprise you is that, well, I don't have time. And I resemble that thought. There was definitely a period of a season, I'll call it a season, where I didn't pick up the Bible for a while. And if I did and I started to read it, it seemed kind of boring. And I didn't want to be taking boring time with God, if that makes sense. Like he is a living God and Jesus is my Lord. And the Holy Spirit is with me to guide me and lead me in His truth, even in His Word, not just only in His Word, in life also, and to remind me what He taught me and everything. But if I don't fill myself with what He taught me, then how is it that the Holy Spirit's going to remind me of what He taught me if I'm not studying what He taught me, if you get what I'm saying? If I don't put it in, how can He bring it out? And the first challenge that I had when I was returning to having a daily devotional time that included reading the scripture, one of the first biggest challenges I had was, how much time could I commit? How much time was I willing to commit? And so I want to say it this way. I had to be honest with myself. There was a person who was challenging me, and they were like, look, take 30 minutes and, you know, a day, and have a devotion time for at least 30 minutes a day. And when I heard that, on the one hand, everything inside of me felt as if I need to go ahead and make a commitment and start. And at the same time, I have to be honest with myself, and God knows my heart. He knows the truth. And I really was like, okay, well, I can't do 30 minutes. I can't commit to 30 minutes. And I felt the gentle pull of the Holy Spirit, who was saying, well, how much time do you want to put? And I had a peace about 10 minutes. Now, that may not sound like much to some people, but I can share with you, there was a time in my life where all I had was like 5 minutes. But that was significant. It was just time with me and the Lord, and me and His Word, and a short devotion time. God can do a lot with 5 minutes. What about the verse that says a day, right, with the Lord is as 1,000 years? Well, what do you think a minute is? Anyway, I'm kidding and I'm not kidding at the same time. In all seriousness, even if you only had 5 minutes, that's something. And the way that I approached it was, okay, I'm gonna set a timer and I'm gonna read the scripture for 10 minutes. And when I get to the 10 minutes, I'll be done. And I gave myself permission to be done. I got a sticky, like a little plastic sticker thing that I could mark where I was at in the Bible. And I could just stop and put the little sticker there. And then the next day I could pick it up. And I also, I'm a strong believer in having a Sabbath day, a day of rest. And so I decided I was going to read the scripture through the week. And then on the weekend, I would take off from having a daily reading. Now, you don't have to do that. I'm just sharing what I do. And so one is finding a time that works for you and finding an amount of time that works for you. So I just want to encourage you with that. So if there is no time, think about this. If anything is important enough, and I hate to use a guilt trip, but it's true. If anything is important enough, we make time for it. If we have a toothache, we make time for a dentist. If we need something bad enough, we make time for it. If you don't find yourself having a desire to have a time with the Lord and getting back into the Word as a daily reading, then you can just pray about that and just ask the Lord, Lord, would you have me to get back into your Word? And then one of the mistakes on the list here actually is not knowing where to start. So, you know, does there have to be a quote-unquote special place to start if you're going to get back into Bible reading? I would encourage you with this. If you haven't read the scriptures in a while, then how about start in the Gospels? Start with the New Testament. Read through the New Testament, and then start with the Old Testament. And by doing that, I've heard people say this in the past, and I believe there's a lot of truth in this statement, that the New Testament is the Old Testament contained, and the Old Testament is the New Testament explained. In other words, the things that we read throughout the Scripture in the New Testament, we see examples lived out in front of us in the lives of the Israelites and the lives of mankind with God in the Old Testament. And so as far as like where to start, does it have to be a particular place? Now, if you know that there's a place in the Bible that you're supposed to be reading, like you just have a really strong feeling in your spirit, if you will, and you've known for a while that I'm supposed to read through this book of the Bible, well, then do that, definitely. But if you're not sure and you haven't done it in a while or anything like that, or maybe you just haven't read straight through the New Testament in a while, I want to encourage you to do that. Start with the Gospels and go straight through. Something that I might do in the near future, I don't know, we'll see, is like find out when the epistles were written, like the order that they were written in, and maybe read through the Gospels in the book of Acts, and then read through the epistles in the order according to the time that they were written in. I don't know. It's just a thought. The point is, ultimately, go ahead and make a commitment of time and then start doing it. Another mistake is a translation that they don't understand. Some people are raised believing that there's only one translation of the Bible. I was ministering to someone who was in their late 60s, many, many years ago, actually, and it was a sweet woman, a sweet older sister in the Lord, if you will, and she had heard and was convicted that she wanted to be reading the Bible, but she was really conflicted about it, and she came and asked. She said, "Well, the problem that I have is I just don't understand it. I never understand it when I try and read it." And I asked her, "What translation do you have?" And for her, she said, "Well, I have the King James translation of the Bible." And it was just her by herself. And I said, "Well, let me make a suggestion. How about get a different translation? A translation that's a trusted one, but at least one that you can understand as you read it." I mean, ultimately, our understanding of God's holy and inspired word is dependent and reliant on the Holy Spirit making it alive to us, not necessarily the translation. Now, I say that with a grain of salt. There are translations that I don't believe are good translations. And typically, they're not really what I would even call Christian based belief systems. So if I was going to make a recommendation, if you need a different translation, or if the translation that you have always read seems boring, if you will, then I want to recommend a few translations to you that might help you in this. Number one, it might help you understand things clearly or more clearly. Also, to kind of challenge you in your spirit, man, to kind of say, okay, this is what I'm reading. This is what I thought it said. And you might read a verse and have yourself scrutinizing it more. Well, what's wrong with that? When you prove the truth to see if it's true, you find out that it's true. And so, like with this older sister in the Lord, I shared with her, look, get a translation that you can understand more clearly. And I offered a few to her that I like. For example, the New Living Translation. Now, that's not the Living Bible, the New Living Translation. I like that. I like the New International Version. I like the Amplified Bible. And I like the New King James Translation. I mean, those are some that I like. I've read more than just those. Those are some that I like that I think makes it a little easier to understand than something like the King James Translation, which is hard for a lot of people to understand many times, just because we don't speak that way. And here again, whether it's because you don't understand the Bible that you have, or what you have is so, I don't know the best word to use, almost like it's boring. Like, have you ever watched a movie and felt like if you watch it again, you're just not even going to pay any attention? That's kind of what I mean. And it's scary, and it's like, it's sad to say that you can feel that way about the Word of God. But if that's the honest truth, I want to encourage you. Right? Have a translation that can build you up, that God is able to use to build and strengthen you. And so maybe one of the ones I listed there might be a translation that you might want to consider. And if you have a question about it or want to share anything with me about it, please go ahead and go to godsadopted.com. I'd love to hear from you. Really. What's another mistake? How about a belief that you have to relate to everything or nothing matters? I mean, there are some things that you read in the Bible that don't directly correspond to something happening into your life. Let me say it this way in a question. If you read the Bible, do you have to be able to apply it every single time, every single word that you're reading in your current daily life? Or is it possible that some things that you read are more for explanation and description and building you up in other ways? I say that because sometimes we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of a thing. And so if if I'm reading through a passage and it's not exactly something I'm looking for this moment, then maybe I don't want to read at all. And I just want to challenge you, make commitment and read straight through. And even in this, in the challenge I give, I want to encourage you or discourage you from like study notes and stuff like that. I'm not saying to not take notes yourself. Write notes and stuff. Write questions and see how God answers your questions that you write down along the way. Keep a journal if you like. But read through the scripture and ask God to reveal his truth to you in it and through it as you go. And then what about this one? Sometimes a mistake that we can make is that we ignore spiritual dryness. And I would challenge any of us who feel dry, who feel like our relationship with the living God is not a very much alive. It's not, there's not much vitality in it. And if that's the case, then I want to pray for you and pray with you that God could bring back and help restore that first love, that kind of excitement that when we first get born again, we're excited to see and understand God's word for the first time. It can be hard to believe that you can experience that kind of excitement a second time. And I can tell you from experience myself that you really can. You can actually experience that first love time period with the Lord. You can experience it again. I can understand how that might be hard to believe. But if you haven't had that in a while, then why not pray about it? Why not ask the Lord for it? We read in the book of Revelations where he's talking to a church, one of the churches, and he says for them to get back to their first love. Isn't that interesting? Why would he tell them to do that if it wasn't possible? And what if you find yourself maybe feeling like that's where you're at and, you know, how could you have that again? Well, the fact that you're hearing me talk about it is already something. It's already something significant, not because I'm significant, but because I know that God's truth and his Holy Spirit guiding me in what to say sometimes, he can do some amazing things. It has nothing to do with me. I've heard one person say it this way. You know, it's for us to obey as God directs us and commands us to do or say something. The results of those things are up to God, though. And my prayer is that the results of this podcast and even this episode would be to encourage and strengthen you. Maybe in some special way. Maybe there's something that God wanted to share with you today. Maybe there's a particular thing. Maybe he wanted to challenge you. If you have any questions or want to share a thought or something like that, I'd love to hear from you. Go to godsadopted.com. On the bottom of almost any page, there's a place where you can write an email to me. There's like a little form. You can just fill it out. There's another thing that you can do where you click on it and you can leave me a voice message. It's not a long one, but hey, I mean, maybe you have an idea for a podcast episode that you'd love to hear about, or maybe you just have a question. And if you leave me a voicemail, you know, if it's okay, I might take that voicemail, that audio clip, if you will, and actually include it in the episode of God's Adopted if I end up talking about that topic specifically. So I'd love to hear from you. And so, is there anything that might be challenging you today in regards to following the Lord or following through on something the Lord's calling you to do today? Reach out if you need some help. I'd love to hear from you. All right, I'm going to close in prayer, and I pray, Father God, I pray that you would just enliven us, Lord, that you'd give us a new excitement for you and your word, and how to apply what you teach us in our daily lives, Lord. Lord, let us be light and let us be salt in this world where you've called us to be, wherever it is you've called us to be. Give us the words to say, or the strength and courage not to say anything, or whatever it is you want to lead us in, Lord. We want to follow after you as you show us and guide us and encourage us. And I pray that you would bless all those who've listened today and their families of those who've represented also. And I thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love seeing how our real living God is working in and through our real living lives in this real world. Please subscribe to this podcast and keep listening. If you've been blessed or encouraged in some way and want to leave a review, please do that by writing your review on iTunes. If you haven't already, please drop in and say howdy in our Facebook group when you can. See you next time on the water with Jesus.